نعم الله وبحمده المسير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم
محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الإمام الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من يخرج من بيته مهاجرا الى الله ورسوله ثم يدركه الموت فقد وقع اجره على الله وكان الله غفورا رحيما صلوات الله وسلامه
that has been made with us and Allah. Now the next relationship that Allah has made between a mu'min and Allah, the next relationship that He has made between a mu'min and Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. He called it by the name of Muwaddat. Called it by the name of Muwaddat. So it is said that when the Prophet reached a certain degree of establishing Islam, the people came to the Prophet and asked him, we want to give you something in return for your work, for your deed that you have done. So there we see that obviously Rasulullah did not reply back. And what they were asking for was not just the work that he has done, but they did not realize that the work he has done was the culmination of the work that all the Anbiya and the Prophets have done. So all the Prophets have done the work, it was culminated, it was finished at the time of our Prophet. And hence when they asked the question, this question was not only then, it was asked before also in the times of other Prophets, and they said that our reward is with Allah. Our reward is with Allah. They asked the Prophet also in Makkah, and in Makkah the Prophet said, my reward is with Allah. He said, my reward is with Allah. And this at the end of his message, now when they asked him, he said, he didn't say anything there, Allah sent an ayat. Allah sent a verdict, and Allah said, go and ask these people this thing. He said, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Say that, go and tell them, I do not ask of you anything except for the love of Ahlul Bayt. So love was the price of the message of the Prophet. See, love was the price. This muwaddat means love, like Muhammad. It means love. And hence, this is one relationship that Allah has made between us and them. So now, we need to understand what is love. Why did Allah mention love? Why did He make this relationship of love between us and them? And then we will understand that what love means and what are the requirements of love. Because love is one of the most misunderstood concepts in this world and in Islam. When we say love of Ahlul Bayt, love of Ahlul Bayt is used by many people not to practice Islam. They say, if you love Ahlul Bayt, Alhamdulillah, we love Ahlul Bayt. Allah asked us to love, so we love them. So obviously no one knows who loves who, because love is something you cannot see. Right? It's hidden. So obviously we need to now understand what love is. Because really, those people who say that never have understood what love is. And this is something that we need to explain today. So Allah had said two things. One was service, ita'at, obedience. And the other is love. And I want you to see these two things. There is a difference between these two things. When either you serve someone or you love someone. When you serve someone, you do not stand to you stand to gain something from your master. When you love someone, you do not stand to gain anything from your beloved. You see, if you work for someone, if you're an employee and you have an employer, you work for him. So if you're employed by him, then actually you do work for him. When you're working for him, you don't work for free. You don't work for free. You work in, and instead of your work, you are being paid. So whatever amount that you're being paid, you will do that amount of work. If you're required to do 8 hours of work, then you will do 8 hours of work a day. If you're a good employee. Right? Like there are any employers here, right? They always have complaints about employees. If you are a good employee, you would do that amount of work which you're asked to do. Right? But once that 8 hours is up, then you don't stay behind and say, you know what, the next 2 hours I want to stay here because I love the employer. Because I'm so fond of this company, I want to stay here more. I mean, did you ever see anyone say that? No. Everyone is waiting for that clock to tick at 5. They have their coats ready and everything and the time card in their hand. When they hit 5, that's it, they're gone. You only see them around there. You see that? This is the behavior of whom? Of employers, of employees, of those who serve. Those who are serving. This is their view, this is their attitude. They just go there, wait for the time, and when the time is up, they will leave because that's all they owe. That's all they owe. That's why they're working there. They're working there, they'll do their share, and after their share is up, they will go. If you understood this example, now tell me, love. But when you love someone, on the other hand, when you love someone, you don't get, you don't stand to gain anything from the beloved. You see that? You will love someone and you don't expect anything in return of him. You will serve him, but you don't expect anything in return. You see that? Like for example, if you say that you love your wife, or the wife says that she loves you, or the son says that he loves his dad, he said, I love you, dad. He said, all right, son, why don't you get me some water? After the game is finished. Right? I mean, if that's the answer, wait a minute. You said you love me. But you see, now understand what happens. Let me explain to you with this example we said here, salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
I'm going slowly to explain this one step at a time, and I want you to keep up with me because we want to conclude today. So you see, love and service, mawaddat and itaat, the difference between the two. I am sick. I have a servant. Understand this. I am sick and I have a servant. He is waiting beside me, waiting to serve me. And he's an obedient servant, a very obedient servant. He is waiting to serve me. He is waiting to do whatever I ask him to do. Now I can ask, I am sick, and you come to my house, you are my friend. You come next to my bed, stand next to my servant. You see my situation. You see how I look. You see me, you analyze me, and then you realize something and tell to the servant, go get a glass of water, he is thirsty. You say, go get a glass of water, he's thirsty. So he goes, he gets a glass of water. I drink the water, I needed it. Now what happened here? That servant was waiting. You came there, you saw me, and then you said, he needs water. So now, you ask the servant, why didn't you get him water? When you saw that he's thirsty, why didn't you get him water? The servant says, he didn't tell me to. He didn't tell me to. So now, why did the servant not bring water? Because I didn't tell him. Why did you bring me water? Why did you bring me water? You see, understand this. Why did you bring me water? You brought me water. Not because I asked you. Not because I told you. Because your relationship with me is different than the relationship of the servant. When you serve someone, you wait for the master to give you a command. Then you do what you have been told to do. But when you love someone, you don't wait for the beloved to give you a command. You do what you need to do in order to serve him without him having to tell you. See that? Understand what love is. What is the difference between service and love? Itaat and muwaddat. Itaat is whenever you are doing itaat of someone, it means that you wait for the command and then do it. And when you love someone, you don't wait for the command, but you do it. You just look at the beloved, you know him so well. See, understand this. Now, let me go forward now. Once you love someone, the beloved doesn't need to ask you for anything. The beloved doesn't ask you for anything. In fact, it's an insult for the beloved to ask you for something. Or for the lover to expect something to be asked for. You know, one lover, he tells his beloved, I would have given my life for you only if you had asked me. Only if you had asked me. Now, if any beloved hears that, what would you say? What would you say? Boy, you better keep that love with you. I mean, what kind of love is that when I have to ask you for something? When I have to tell you something, this is what I want. If you love me, then you would know just by my demeanor what I want. And you would do that for me. So now you see what love is. This is in service. This is when you serve someone that you wait for a command to come. That you wait for an order to come. So that when the order comes, then you do it. This is in itaat, not in muhabbat or muwaddat. In love, what is the case? The case is that without the beloved asking you for anything, you serve him. You do what he wants just by knowing what he wants. Just by knowing what he wants. This is the reason we see people understand that muhabbat and love, they make it a means for not practicing, for not being obedient. They haven't even understood what love is. Love is a higher form of obedience. Love is a higher form of obedience. In obedience, you wait for the command to come and then you do it. In love, you don't wait for the command. You serve them without them asking you for it. See, this is my brother, understand this. Let me explain from another angle so you understand this also. When someone is employed by someone, and he's serving him. Now, if the employer doesn't give work, if the work comes to your table, you know, you have this many files, you do it, you have to do it. Now, if the files didn't come to your table, and they're lying on the other table, so obviously, you know that work needs to be done. You know that work needs to be done, but since it's not on your table, right? I don't have to do it. Right? So now the employer comes to you and says, listen, why did you do those files over there? He gets mad at you. He says, why did you do those files over there? He is mad at you now because you didn't do those files. So now, as an employee, what's your reply? You say, you didn't ask me to. Sorry? You didn't ask me to. Understand what I'm saying? Now tell me, can the employee be blamed for not doing it? Can you blame him? You can't blame him. Why? Because the employer did not ask him. The employer did not ask him in service, in obedience, in itaat. If the command is not given and the servant does not do it, then he is not blameworthy and you cannot blame him for not doing it. Only when the command comes, only when the order comes, then can you blame someone who is obedient. That why didn't you do this? But in love, it's different. In love, it's different. I come to your house. I'm your friend. The relationship we have is that of love. I have an attachment. We have a bond. We have friends. So I come to your house. I come to your house. I sit in your house all this time. And you didn't even offer me a glass of water. You didn't ask me for even a glass of water. So now what happens? At the end, I have to say, hey, listen, I've been here for 3 hours. Can you give me some water? And you say, oh, you wanted water? Yes, I wanted water. What do you mean? Of course I wanted water. You know, okay. Then I ask you, well, why didn't you bring me water? You never asked for it. You never asked for it. And you say, what kind of a host are you? What kind of a friend are you? You know me so well. I'm here in your house and you didn't even offer me water. You see, if I was obedient to you, if I was working for you, you work for me, then the question of asking comes. The issue of asking comes. But when we have friends, when we have the relationship of love, there's no need to ask. There's no need to ask. You should have known by what I am going through. So what is it? In love, you do not wait for that question to be asked or that thing to be demanded. You do whatever the beloved wants, not because he asks you, because you know the beloved so well that you understand through his or her demeanor what he or she wants. And you would do what they want without them asking you for it. This is called love. Obedience is something else. You wait for the command and then you say it. Love is what? You don't wait for the command. You do it without them asking you for it. So those people who say that we love someone and they do not serve them, they have no clue what service is, what love is. Because love is what? Love is to do what they ask and also to do what they do not ask. You understand this? Allah said both of these things. At one place Allah says, Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul wa Uli al-Amr. He says what? Obey Allah. Obey the messenger and those who are in charge of you, the imams. Obey them. This word is itaat, obedience. Obedience. Understand this. If they give the command, you do it. If they don't give any command, you don't have any obligation. He said this, Atiyu Allah, Atiyu Rasul, wa Uli al-Amr minkum. And this itaat is one part of the whole message. This is one ayat out of how many ayat? 6,666. Out of all those ayat, this is one ayat. Out of all the rules of Islam, this is one rule. Just understand what I'm saying. Itaat of the Prophet, itaat of Ahlul Bayt is just a small part of the whole of Islam. Just one rule amongst many rules is itaat. But when Allah asks for the whole price of the whole message, when He asked for the price of the whole message, He did not say obedience. He did not say itaat. He remembered that with love and said that the only way to pay the whole price is through love. See this, the only way to pay for the whole price is love. So what it means is that obedience is only a part of Islam. Love is the price of the whole of Islam. Love is the price of the whole of Islam. And hence, love is so important that ihsan is just a part of it. Love is a higher form of obedience. If you understood this, now, my brothers, one more thing I'll tell you from here. So you understand why Allah asked for love. Why did He just say obey? He should have just said, obey Allah, obey the Prophet, obey those in charge of you. Allah could have said that. But understand Allah's wisdom, my brothers and sisters. Understand why they said love. People who do not understand what love is, they have no clue. Love means that you do that which you are asked and you do that which you are not asked. So they don't have to ask you anything, but you should keep on doing it. You should keep on practicing, even if they don't ask. And the wisdom behind love is what? Allah says, love Rasulul Bayt. Why love? Why not itaat? Why not obedience? Because Allah knew that there will come a time, that there will come a time when these imams who are there to tell you what to do, what not to do, will one day be oppressed by the others. They will be mazloom. They will be oppressed to such an extent that a time will come that that imam from which you are waiting to hear what you have to do, what you don't have to do, that imam will go into ghaybat. That imam will go into occultation. If Allah had wanted to make obedient servants, then these obedient servants would say, we are waiting for the command to come. That command will never come. We will not practice. That's why Allah said, love them. Because love does not require that they should ask you anything. Love demands that you do it even without them asking you for it. If the Imam is in Khaybah, he cannot order you, he cannot command you. If Allah says obedience, then everyone will say, Alhamdulillah, we are waiting for the command to come. If it comes, we will do it. If it comes, we will do it. Neither the command will come, neither will these people practice. Right? Neither will these people practice. That's why Allah said, love them. Why? Because love demands you to do even if they do not ask you. Even if you don't hear that command, you must do it. You see, this is what love is. Love is a higher obedience. Love means that you do what they say and you do what they don't say. Just because you love them. Just because you love them. That's why you do it. You see that? Understand what love is. Now what happens? A lot of people we have, and they come up with crazy ideas. They said, you know, Mawlana, this obedience you talk about all the time. Ita'at you talk about all the time. Obedience and these things. These are only delaying the reappearance of our Imam. And I asked them, how does that happen? I want to know. You came up with this idea, so let me see the reasoning behind it. He said, well, you see, Mawlana, here's the situation. Imam will come when there is zulm in the land. Imam will come when there is zulm in the land. So, you are trying to propagate obedience. If we obey, then the zulm will go down and it will delay the Imam. So what should we do? Well, we should increase the zulm. We should increase the zulm. I said, all right, you know, I'll start with your program. I mean, you have the program, so let me start. I'll slap you really hard. And you can slap someone else. I'm doing zulm on you, right? So let's start right here. I'll slap you and you slap someone else. And you know, let's all slap one another. Until the Imam comes back. By the program you're given, if we do zulm on one another, then no one will be safe to live on earth. It means that we all go and hurt one another. How can that happen? And there's one technical problem. If we do that, we are increasing the zone. There's one technical problem there. What's that? I said, well, you know, when the Imam will come back, what's he coming back for? What's he coming back for? He's coming back to fight zone. And those who did zone. So if we start the zone, then the Imam is coming back to fight us. So these type of ideas, my brothers, these type of ideas, they don't understand. These type of ideas come and go. But the true meaning of love of Ahlul Bayt is that you obey them in such a way. You obey them in such a way that you should not wait for them to say anything. You should do what they don't ask you to do. And how does that happen? Let me explain that. You send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You see, my brothers, what is love? Love is based on ma'rifat. See, love is based on ma'rifat, on knowledge. When you know something, when you are aware of something, when you recognize something, when you have knowledge of something, then and then only can you love it. See? Then and then only can you love it. You must have knowledge of that. Then you will love it. For example, whatever you love, whatever is your attachment. Let's say you like cars. Right? And you love cars. The reason you love cars is because you know about them. You love them. And you know about them, and hence you will love cars. But when you meet a stranger on the street, you don't love him. When you meet a stranger on the street, you don't love him. But when you meet someone who's from your own household, you love him. In your own household, you have brothers and sisters. In your own household, you love them. Right? You love them. You meet a stranger on the street, and they don't, you have no attachment. Did you ever pay attention? Why is that? What if that brother that you love so much, he is born of the same father, but he was born in another city. He was raised in another place, in another part of the world. If you meet him when you're old, would you have that same feeling for him? That same love for him as you do now? You won't. He'll be a stranger to you. And you're looking at a stranger. So now, this attachment that you have, this love that you have is why? Why do you have this love? Understand this. Why do you have this love between yourself? It's because you know one another. You owe one another to such an extent that you experience life together. You live together. You did things together. So now you start to understand one another. When you understand one another, then you see that attachment growing with you. That love growing. That love comes when there is ma'rifat, when there is understanding of one another. And the only condition is this. Remember, the only condition is this. That when you get to know something, when you get to know something and increase your ma'rifat about something, the only way to fall in love with that is if that thing is worthy of love. If that thing is worthy of love. Otherwise, if you do research on mud, and you know everything about mud, you have the whole knowledge about mud, you don't fall in love with mud. You don't fall in love with mud. Why? Because the closer you go to it, the more you are repelled from it. You see that? That thing itself must be worthy of love. See, that thing must be worthy of love. And hence what happens when our hearts are loving something, what happens? We gain knowledge of that thing. We increase our marifat of that thing. And if that thing is worthy of love, then our hearts are attached to it. But if that thing is not worthy of love, our hearts are repelled from it. Our hearts are repelled from it. So now you see, what is the heart doing then? The heart is looking and yearning for something or someone who is worthy of its love. The heart is looking, the man, insan's heart, man's heart is looking for what? For yearning for what? For something that is worthy of its love. It's looking for perfection. So now the heart is looking for perfection. Wherever it will find perfection, then the more knowledge it will have of it, the more it will love it. The more it will be attached to it. That's the reason you see that when, my brothers and sisters, this is so important for us to understand. Our hearts are looking for perfection. Love is looking for perfection to fall in love with. Because love cannot fall in love with imperfection. We cannot fall in love with imperfection. That's the reason when we looked at the whole world, we saw Allah worthy of that love. We see that Allah is the only one who's perfect. He's worthy of that love. He's worthy of that love. But let me just tell you one more thing. You send me a salawat. Allah is worthy of that love, but there is one problem here. Allah's existence is beyond our capacity to understand. Allah's existence, His wujud, His being, is beyond our capacity to understand. Even though Allah is perfect, but our knowledge of Him is so defective because of the fact that His being and His existence is beyond our recognition. We cannot gain ma'rifat of Him. We cannot gain ma'rifat of Him. Why? Because of the fact that His existence is beyond our capacity. Even where do we begin to think of Allah? Where do we begin to know Allah? Where do we begin to recognize Allah? That's why Allah said that when He made the relationship of Shahadat, He mentioned Himself. But when He mentioned the relationship of Tawaddat, He mentioned Ahlul Bayt. Because of the fact that you cannot recognize me. So I'm giving you some people who are so perfect that they will be that object of your love when you look for perfection. You see that Ahlul Bayt are those beings that Allah made. Why? Because we can see them, we can recognize them, we can learn about them. The more we are attached to them, the more our hearts and our minds will understand they are worthy of our love. The more we will get to know them, the more we will see they are worthy of our love. That's the reason. If people say they love them, but they do not serve them, it means they don't love them. The reason they don't love them is because they do not have ma'rifat of them.
SubhanAllah.
They do not have ma'rifat of them. How much do we know the imams? How much do we know the imams? Even the imam that we take the name all the time, Imam Ali, how much do we know of
him?
You see that? How much do we know of him? Meaning, if he was here with his characteristics, with his qualities, would he be our friend? Would he be the type that we would befriend? How would we know? We don't even know him. When we don't even recognize what kind of a person he was, that now if he comes here, would we be his friend? Would we be attached to him? That's the reason imams have said, gain ma'rifat of your imams. Because the more you will gain ma'rifat of them, the more you will know whether you will be their friend or not. You see, imagine, you can only be a friend of Imam Ali if you love justice. Giving you one example, if you love justice, if you love honesty, if you don't like honesty, then you cannot be someone who would love Imam Ali. If you don't like justice, you cannot be someone who can be in love with Imam Ali. Because it's hard. Because when you see Imam Ali is honest and just, not just just, he is known, Imam Ali is known as Adil, not Adil. You know, they say that he is Adil. Adil means that he is so just that he became the meaning of justice. And hence, when we are looking for, if we are looking for unjust means to do things, if our habit is to find unjust means to achieve our ends, my brothers, there were people there who hated Imam Ali for his justice, who did not like Imam Ali for his justice. Why? Because they did not like, they were used to doing things and cheating and doing unjust things. So now, when a person is used to doing that, how can he like Imam Ali? How can he like Imam Ali? Why? Because of the fact that he knows that this is going to go against what he likes. There are certain likes you have, and hence what happens? In order to like Imam Ali, you would also have to adopt that quality of justice. You would also have to adopt that quality of honesty. If you do not adopt that, and if you see yourself as being unjust, if you see yourself as being dishonest, then there's no way that you can like Imam Ali if he was present here. You cannot. It doesn't make sense. You see your own friends. You see your own friends. You get attached to people who are like you. Who are like you. You will see that. Who have the same tendencies as you. Who have the same likes as you. You get attached to those people easier. And hence, in order to be attached to the Imams, then we also have to adopt those qualities that they represent. See what that means. Otherwise, it's just a sham that we put on ourselves. We don't even understand who the Imams are. This is the reason many people, when they came and they thought that Imam Hussein would lead them to something that they like, and when they understood that Imam Hussein is going in the other direction. And who were these people? These people were those who came to help Imam Hussein. Those who used to regard him as the Imam. They came to him. They came there and they looked at the Imam. They were with the Imam. But when they saw that he is taking them somewhere where they don't like, so what happened? They start leaving him. See that? They start leaving him. That's how the Imam is left alone. Because when you do not have the qualities that the Imams represent, there's no way that a person can be with the Imam. My brothers and sisters, love is a serious thing. Love is not something that's hidden in the heart. When you love someone, it means that you know him so well that you know what he wants without him asking you for it. You know him just by looking at him because you love him, that this is what he wants. That's the reason you gain the ma'rifat of your Imam. To such an extent that when you know him so well, then you know exactly what he wants without him having asking for you. If we do not know the Imam, then how would we know what he wants? That's the reason. This love that Allah has mentioned, ayah mubadda, is not just something that you see on the mirror, a lot of people just saying. Love, what does it mean? Love means that you know your Imam so well that he doesn't need to ask you for something. You know what he wants without him asking you for it. This is what mawaddat means. This is what it means, that when you love someone, you know him so well that he doesn't need to ask you, he doesn't need to gesture you. You know what he wants because you know him so well. This is what it means. And that's the reason you see, those who are with Imam Hussein, those who are with Imam Hussein, they were there because of love. They were there because of love. Look at those lovers. It was a place of love. You see, when lovers are there, they don't. When you have a majlis of lovers, those who love, then you see that you don't need to ask them for something. They give you without you asking for it. And that's the reason when I see, for example, in a masjid, if people need to ask for donation, then this is a gathering of servants. It's not a gathering of lovers. It's not a gathering of lovers. Because if this was a gathering of lovers, then there's no need to ask. They give out of their love. They know what they want. See, this is what love means. They give out of their heart. They know exactly what the beloved wants. They know exactly what it wants. That's the reason when on the night of Ashura, when the majlis of lovers sat on the night of Ashura, when there was love, then now those lovers were such that Imam Hussein did not ask them to give their lives. In fact, he was telling them, you don't have to give your lives. He was asking them to go away. He was asking them to go away. And these lovers were such that even though they knew they could have gone away and not be blamed for it, but still they said, no, our being here is not because of anything that we could gain from you. Our being here is because we love you. Our being here is because we love you. And because it is love, there is nothing that can separate us from you. There is nothing that can separate us from you. Because when love is there, love cannot be separated. And that's the reason you see that no matter if heaven came in between, no matter if Imam Hussein took away his bayat, no matter if Imam Hussein said, take my children with you, they would not leave Imam Hussein. And this was that whole people, all the companions, all the children, they gave their testimony. One by one, they were shaking to even imagine that they would leave Imam Hussein. They would shake even to imagine that they would leave Imam Hussein. Now, my brothers, that love that you have seen, if you have seen that love, now I want you to come and see the love of Imam Hussein's children. That love that was so strong, you know, that was so strong, that captivated everyone, that just took everyone. And that love that Sakina had for her father. You know, Sakina was such a daughter of Imam Hussein who would not be away from Imam Hussein ever. She would only sleep when she found the chest of Imam Hussein. She understood his heartbeat so well that his heartbeat would put her to sleep. She would listen to his heartbeat, and the heartbeat would be like a lull for her so that she can go to sleep. She was so much used to it. Now imagine, when she was separated from the chest of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. Imagine what Sakina had to go through in order to get back with her father. What Sakina had to go through in order to get back with her father. In every stage of the journey, it was Sakina that was looked upon by everyone, and the oppression and the distress that she faced could only only be imagined. Right from the start, it started. Right from the beginning, on the night of Shami Ghariba, when Shami Ghariba came, it was Sakina who was lost. And when Zainab and Umm Kulsum went to look for Sakina, this Sakina, they looked at the different bodies. They went to the battlefield. They were asking, Sakina, where are you? Where are you? Sakina won't be found. They came to one body. They saw it had a spear in its chest. They recognized, this is the body of Ali Akbar. And they started to cry over that body. Then they went ahead. They saw the body that was cut. His hands were cut. They recognized, this is the body of Abbas. Now Zainab and Umm Kulsum are going around and they come to one body that is so disfigured that they could not recognize whose body is this. But they saw Sakina lying on top of that body saying, my father, you have left me, father, you have left me. Now I don't have anyone to sleep on. This Sakina, as she went now, as she went, you know, when Sakina went from that place, it was so hard for her because you see, when she went there from there to Kufa, all the ladies were tied up in one rope. There were 12 ladies that were tied in one rope. Now, there's some whose hands were tied. There's some whose necks were tied. There's some whose feet were tied. These were tied and they were being dragged to Kufa. When they came to the court of Yazid in Sham, this happened. When they came to the court and Yazid ordered them to take out the ropes, they took out the ropes and he saw that there is one leg. All the ladies who were inside the ropes, they would be looking, they would be trying to hide themselves. Those who had longer hairs would put their hair on top of their face so they can hide their face. And Sakina was putting one hand on her face, the other hand on her neck. The other hand was on her neck, and Yazid looked at this girl and he saw one hand on the face, one hand on the neck, and said, why does this girl have one hand on the head, one hand on her face, one hand on the neck? He asked Sakina. Sakina said, I have one hand on my face so I can hide my face from strangers. And I have the other hand on my neck because while being dragged, the rope was tied on my neck. And I still have that injury that came from that. This was the ordeal of Sakina. This was the ordeal of Sakina that she had to go through. Every time she wanted to cry, they would slap her. Every time she wanted to ask for water, they would laugh at her. At one time, there was a time when she told, they came to a stop. And Sakina, she told her aunt that, I need water. I am thirsty. There's no water. Then Zainab said to her, that go, my Sakina. You can ask them. If Hussein can ask Ali Asghar for water, if Hussein can ask the army for water for Ali Asghar, there is no harm in you asking water for yourself. Go and ask water. So she went and asked for water. When she came, Shimr saw her coming. He moved forward. He met her and said, what do you want? He said, I need some water. He said, all right, after we give water to our men, then you can have it. So the men were getting the water. She was waiting and watching them drink the water. And she is thirsty. She is looking at them. Now when the men drank the water, now she's expecting the water to come to her. Now Shimr came and said, wait, we have our animals to feed also. Let them drink the water. Let our horses drink the water. Don't you see we have horses here? So now they started to give water to the horses. Sakina is waiting there. She is walking with the water bag. And now as she is walking, you see that there's a shade over there. She's walking in the sun. She sees that she's in the sun. She moves to the shade. And Shimr says, if you stand in the shade, then I won't give you water. Get back in the sun. Sakina moves out of there. And then she starts to walk. A four-year-old losing her father. She has lost her father. No one is there. No one is there to help her. She's asking for water. That's all she needs. She's an orphan. How much does an orphan have to work for water? Now she goes forward. When all the animals are fed, now she looks at that water. She looks at that water. Shiva says, okay, now you want water. I'll give you water. He says, stand over there. And he turns the water back over. And the water starts to flow. And she sees the water. And he looks all the water on the ground. And says, Sakina, he tells Sakina, go and drink the water from the ground. Sakina looks at that water that has gone in the dirt and says, oh, Allahim, I'm an orphan and I'm asking you for water and you couldn't even give me water.
May Allah bless you all. And may Allah give you the ajr. May Allah give you the ajr that you have shed your tears for the children of Fatima. Because they have went through a many ordeals so that you can follow Allah and obey Allah. But my brothers, today's topic is love. Now I want you to see that test of love came for Sakina. That test of love came for Sakina. But Sakina started to cry. And Yazid said, what are you crying for? He said, I miss my father. He said, you love your father, right? Yes, I love my father. And then she said, all right, I want to see how much your love is. Here, I'm going to give your father to you. I'm going to give your father to you. So they brought out a tray. They brought out the head of Imam Hussain. She saw the head of Imam Hussain. What went through her mind when she saw the head of Imam Hussain? And then Yazid said, if your father loves you, then ask him to come to you. Ask him to come to you and ask him, if he comes to you, then I would know your love is true. Sakina said, my father, they are asking me, they are testing our love. I ask you, my father, come to me. Hussein's head came to the chest of Sakina. Sakina grabbed that head and started to say, my father, you have left me and you have made me an orphan. Sakina soon passed away after that.
Allah, we ask you that you make our feet firm in the path of our faith. Allah.